Welcome to another special podcast. We have members from the Burwood Group and Prime TSR. We have Ed Keen, who is the Director of DevOps at Burwood Group. And we have Rich Kopakin, who is a lead cloud solutions architect at Prime TSR. So thank you both of you for joining. And today's topic is going to be something that's on everyone's mind, especially if you're involved in technology and building software, which is app modernization. And you two have no app modernization in and out, and that's why I'm pretty excited about this. So I want to start with a softball question. What is app modernization, and why do companies need to invest in it? And more importantly, what happens if they don't invest in it?
I'll start with one of my favorite quotes is Satya Nadella from Microsoft. A few years ago referred to every company is a software company now. And it's never been more true. All of the companies that we work with, whether they're in retail, finance, industry, like manufacturing, higher ed, all of them are doing software development to some shape or form, whether it's for their internal customers or for their external customers. With them doing that, application modernization is all about having them do it in the most efficient, scalable, performant, reliable manner. Whether they're building new applications or whether they're still managing and maintaining and continuing to grow their existing applications. So that's probably the best starting point that I have.
Yeah. I was going to say that you said it was a softball question, Robbie, but honestly, it may sound like a softball question, like what is app modernization? But no, it's interesting to think about it can have a little bit more complex answer because it's a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but basically, certain companies have different problems with their software. Ed said, like every company is a software company, but there's tons of different problems you could have. Your software just isn't usable. It needs a UI UX facelift if it's for your customers. Maybe it's not performing, so it needs to get faster like on a day-to-day basis. Maybe it has peak periods where you have a bunch of customers rush in, like those websites on Black Friday that always crash. You need those to be super scalable, but you only want to pay for that power during that time. So you need them to be elastic as well, being, easily able to scale up and easily be able to scale back down. And sometimes you just want to improve the basic languages and foundations and frameworks that the website's written on or the application is written on, just so that you're taking advantage of kind of the new latest, greatest features. It helps you maintain it. So, modernization to me obviously has a lot to do with cloud nowadays, moving and getting people leveraging cloud services and technologies. But it also, is a lot of other potential things that depends on what is the problem with your application is what it boils down to for me. What's your heartache? What do your users hate? What do you hate? Can you not get development done fast enough? Mm. Is this process too long, too slow? Is the data not right? So it really is all encompassing to me. So what is it? It's a harder to answer what it's not almost.
I think like there's a couple of things that come to mind with your answer, Rich, which were speed to market. So as you start building modern applications or you look to modernize your existing applications, you want to be able to push new features faster. So you want to move away from yearly or quarterly releases and start being able to push new features, maybe even daily or maybe multiple times a day, like a lot of the larger companies are doing.
Absolutely.
And then there's also reliability now as well. I was talking to a potential customer yesterday, and they are modernizing their IT and technology shop and stack and their people. The leadership team's expectations of reliability for them are infinitely higher than previously. Like previously, they would be able to take the system down for 8 hours a week or a month. Now everybody expects it to be up and running 100% of the time. And the only way you can do so is by using like latest technologies, latest processes, latest languages, et cetera.
Yep. And that's a good point as well that you made me think of then, in that, when people wanted to be doing these releases more often, obviously the key core skill set and key core focus needs to be on your development operations, DevOps, in order to do that. It almost to me goes hand in hand with app modernization nowadays, because I just cannot imagine almost working on any project without having some basic, if not at almost medium to advanced DevOps capabilities, because you just can't It makes things so much faster, so much more repeatable. I mean, automation and DevOps to me are almost synonymous. And for all the great reasons that everyone knows that automation is amazing, like that's what DevOps help you, it helps you do, get those out there faster. So I know I a little bit tangented and tailgated, but to me, they're almost building out those new and great capabilities to be able to get stuff out to market faster, like Ed was saying, is just as important to me as modernizing the app itself. Mm. It's almost like a dual modernization. You got to modernize your DevOps and modernize your app at the same time.
And modernize your technology group. You nailed it, Rich, yes. With like bringing in DevOps and then DevOps, not just alone, right? Like principles like Agile, and then within the tooling and capabilities that many people see as synonymous with DevOps, things like infrastructure as code. Start modernizing your technology group. Start having people no longer click in the user interface to provision a VM and start being able to make use of cloud services as well. So writing infrastructure as code, doing so using more elastic services that are available with the cloud providers.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing nowadays as well, is that, you know, why take an application that's been written in a bunch of, that's been around for 20 years and the code is legacy and it's spaghetti and it's a mess and no one can update it. And then some people take an application like that and they write it in a spaghetti mess in a new framework. That's just, right, you know, sure, there's been certain things you take advantage of here and there, but you're not getting any increased speed to market, you know, out of doing something like that. It's just as hard to be maintainable. So things like Ed said, like the infrastructure as code, you start putting those into place and other processes into place and automated testing into place. And then what you've built yourself is not only a fix whatever problem you're initially having, but you've also built yourself a great foundation for change for the future. When you do that infrastructure as code, hey, you want to, you know, add another server, you want to spin something up in another region, you want to add some power to the CPU, you want to even, you know, change clouds from one cloud to another, you have that foundation right now to do that like that. So if you're going through this big monetization, you're not building out those things to make your life easier for the future, you're really missing out on a big part of the monetization process.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rich, when you mentioned the spaghetti code as well, a big part of this as well is moving away from that tightly coupled spaghetti code into breaking apart from the monolith and breaking it into microservices so that, hey, teams can run their interdependent app services where they can have true ownership of. They can maintain their own backlog for their applications and their services. They can be responsible for their own deployments. You can have alerts go to that team. They can be doing application performance management and truly own their applications and their services and have them, decoupled from the rest of the application teams as well. It provides a lot more autonomy and ultimately happier software engineers.
Yep. And Robbie, you'll have to get used to me and Ed. We don't need you anymore. We'll just take over.
I'm over here going, what am I here for? This is it. You guys, this is a great party. The amount of passion in this subject, like I said, you know, which is actually, this conversation is a really good segue into the next question because, you know, if I listen to you, if I'm a CIO of a company and I'm listening to both of you, I go, you know what? This makes a lot of sense. There's nothing I would say that you've said wrong. Which is a good segue to this next question is, what are the challenges of doing this? I mean, obviously the benefits are there, right? I mean, no one's going to say no to, I love to move quicker, more efficiently, you know, have stable releases and do things iteratively, things like that. But what are the real challenges that companies face when they do this?
I could take a shot at this one first. So for me, there's a few things. The first one is getting to what your end state wants to look like. You definitely should be thinking about that long-term plan. You know that you're not going to be able to get there, but where do you want to be going? Have that map. And it's sometimes harder than it looks because what I found really recently as well is there's all these great services and cloud technologies and resources that it's exploding. Everybody knows and learns about and they want to use them because they sound sexy and cool. And it is really easy to kind of develop solutions now that work. and, you know, by stringing together these technologies in different ways. But what is difficult is actually developing the right solutions. I found that it really takes some time at the whiteboard, some longer conversations, some real time and process before you just start going and doing to get the right design for the application at the end of the day. And, you know, it's not the worst thing if I would say a lot of people don't do that and they get away just fine. They build an application, it works, it goes, it perform and they get it over the line at the end of the day, but it's just not what they could have done up front. So the first thing is doing that design up front. The second thing is getting that roadmap from A to B. And that goes into what Ed was talking about with the previous question, you know, whether microservices and a bunch of other technologies, which Ed, I'm gonna let you talk to because actually you're a little bit better at taking those, at least doing the kickoff of taking those initial applications that are kind of legacy and like doing the quick improvement, you know, getting bang for your buck right out of the gate with them, right?
Yeah, to elaborate on that, I probably got two main points here. So the first would be the cost / investment in doing the application modernization, and the second would be skill set. So make sure I keep my memory going on each of these. So for the first one then, like it does require an investment in modernizing your application. So we have a customer, a local customer here of Burwood's, who spent a year and a half, they had a feature freeze of a year and a half on their main application, which means that they pushed no new features, they weren't able to innovate or do anything new with their main application for a year and a half as they completely rewrote it. And they rewrote it, they ran it on Google's Kubernetes engine or GKE up in Google Cloud. They did it all as microservices and they went live and it's gone phenomenally well. But that was it. It took a year and a half's worth of investment. They couldn't be happier. The CEO, the CTO, the team of engineers, like this is a huge success. But for the CTO, like 2-3 years ago, when he made a pitch to board, we need to do this. That must have been an incredibly hard pitch. You're trying to tell anybody that we're not going to do anything new for a year and a half. We're going to fix our old stuff. That's a hard sales pitch to make.
Very hard sales. Yeah.
Right. That's an extreme case of feature freeze for a year and a half. But with the larger applications, like it really obviously can be that long.
Yeah. That goes right to reminds me. I mean, this seems to be a little common too, because we're working with a customer right now who's a large software as a service company who has a product that a lot of people use. And, you know, it's very hard not to give their customers those updates that they're asking for. But that's what the company essentially had to do to kind of right the ship in the near term. They had to pitch something similar to what Ed was saying. Now, I think it was about 3 to 4 months is what they did, which was still a shock to them. I could only imagine a year and a half what they said about that. But they actually called the project spray paint, which I thought was interesting. And it was just kind of like, hey, we're going to take all the garbage and we're going to spray paint over it and have a blank canvas afterwards.
Oh, interesting.
That was the general idea of it. But no, afterwards, it's great. They had their, at least they had a stable amount of automation. They had good environments built out. They had their processes worked out. And then after that, they were able to continue enhancing and modernizing on top of that. But it just needed, you really need to stop production sometimes in order to get all that done, like Ed said.
And that's a good segue into this question, actually, which is, you know, because we were talking about modernization strategy, you know, and things you can do. When a customer comes to you and says, you know, listen, like we have several apps or all of our platforms need to be modernized. You know, and as opposed to we just have this one app in particular that needs to be modernized. How do you approach that from like, I guess, from an organizational perspective? You come in there and says, we want to modernize everything. How do you assess that or help them sort of view their journey?
Yeah, I'll jump in on this one, Rich. So we have a maturity model that we apply to our customers around where they're at on their like, digital transformation or application modernization journey. So we can help place them where they are, help show them where they can get to, and like what the journey there looks like. But a lot of it starts with discovery. So we'll go in, discover their applications, build like an application inventory and a map of the interdependencies, the dependencies on the infrastructure they're running on. End up having to go through some interviews with application owners, start to understand some of the dynamics between the teams as well, because it's not just a technology challenge here. Like, there's a people challenge as well. This is a different way of working for a lot of people as they move to agile, move to continuous integration, they move to some microservices and away from the monolith. And so understanding the dynamics between the teams and what people and process hurdles we might hit as well is a good starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing that upfront analysis is key to just do that discovery and learn what their current environment and structure is. Nowadays, some companies or organizations most likely have already a cloud footprint. But what does that cloud footprint look like? How stable are those foundations? Does that need to be built out, you know, before you could even start to move more up there in general? And then after that, you also need to look at, really, for me, it comes down to figuring out what their identity is, that company's technology identity, which again goes to discovery. I mean, you have applications. Are you leaning towards this type of framework or technology, this type of framework, or do you have stuff spread across the board, right? You know, and then after that, what's your future identity look like? So, you know, you really have to think long term there and strategic before making any quick decisions. But certainly, you know, what we do is come in and do that analysis up front. We do a full report. You know, we give everybody key decision points, you know, of, hey, we want to make sure our thinking is right here. Please validate it. Some of these things we can't answer for you. It really has to come from you. But after that happens, then after that, you know, we're all prepared to hit the ground running. And maybe I'm patting myself on the consultants in general on the back. Yeah. Just one of my old buddies, project managers of a former company. He used to love to say, you know, we come into companies and we work with their IT shops and we just like run circles around them is what we do all day long. Like, we could produce things like, you know, just the real limiter is, you know, having them get out of our way, or if we need them to rely on them for something, because we are all ready to rock. That's kind of what the consultant motto is we're your time, your money is our time, and we want to get it done fast for you.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of the thing, like, we've seen this happen before. We've seen how the story has played out. And we're just here to help you, you know, not play out that same story, because we know you can be there. And let me out of my curiosity, so like when we say the app modernization, does that by default mean cloud? I mean, can you do modernization without cloud?
Absolutely. Cloud provides a great framework for a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here, with being able to run platform services that mean, hey, you no longer need to run and support like an underlying virtual machine. That ends up getting abstracted. And so it makes it easier for engineers to deploy applications to a platform in the cloud. But you can do a lot of that on-premise with private cloud. Some of the tools we've talked about with Terraform, for example, for infrastructure as code, you can use Terraform with VMware and start doing infrastructure as code in your on-premise environment and your data center.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And even the smallest things, if you take just the UI itself, if you're on, let's say, a Java Spring framework, or if you're, which is a tightly coupled kind of MVC style framework, or .NET MVC framework, another tightly coupled model view controllers type framework, just taking out that UI piece and going to a SPA type application, a single page application, like using Angular or React or Vue, you know, decoupling that UI piece from your backend piece, you're doing modernization right there. And it doesn't matter if you're doing that on the cloud or not. And really, when I think about it, you could work your way backwards there. Just go over the pieces really quick. One is that, you know, getting yourself decoupled and getting a nice responsive framework. The next one, as Ed has been talking about, microservices. You could define all your microservices on-prem. There's no reason that you can't do that on-prem when you start really defining the open API specifications using things like Swagger. You know, that's how you, again, decide what your domains are going forward for each of your microservices. And on the back end, you'd use Kubernetes. There's nothing to say that Kubernetes can't, you know, Kubernetes runs just fine on-prem for spinning up and down, you know, various workloads. And even in the back end, you know, you have NoSQL databases and various other data stores that you could really run, you know, there. Cloud just has made all of these services so much easier to use and so much more out of the box and so much more elastic and scalable. That's really why we love to use cloud nowadays. But there's nothing stopping you from doing all this stuff on-prem and to move from the cloud. It's just so much easier on the cloud, right. Honestly.
I was just trying to fish out if you're being biased or, you know, this is, but it sounds like, you know, you can still modernize and, you know, on-prem. And
yeah, absolutely. Robbie, this is jumping there. You definitely can. I mean, if you've got an investment in your on-premise infrastructure and you want to get the most out of that investment, you can definitely do so by applying a lot of the automation, a lot of the modernization that we're talking about here. You can bring in, if you want to run Kubernetes on-premise, there's a number of different ways of doing that. If you want to run it on-premise and in the cloud, you can use tools like Google's Anthos to be able to do so, be able to do so at scale, and again, leverage that existing hardware investment.
Yeah, absolutely. That you supplement with the cloud while keeping your on-prem, and that's a great, that's an amazing model too. Absolutely.
And he mentioned something about Google Anthos. And so, you know, the word on the street here is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you two are pretty good at Google and the GCP platform at Anthos. Am I correct with that assessment?
Yeah, so Bo is a Google Premier partner, so we do a lot of projects with Google, and all the projects that we do with Google involve like some element of DevOps and modernization.
What makes Google different from the rest when it comes to modernization? Like, what does Google's play into this?
What I like, at least in terms of a cloud perspective, I don't know if I could say honestly that, there's an application itself that's application specific code, and a lot of applications, you know, are written custom. Some are, some aren't. But anyway, from a cloud foundation perspective, what I love about Google is that they really lead you to doing things the right way, doing that infrastructure as code, or doing your automation and your API and scripting things out. Some of the other clouds, you know, you're able to kind of click around and muddle your way through. And I love that to begin with too, as an application developer, because I was like, oh, I could spin up a server. I don't need these infrastructure guys anymore. And it was so easy. But yes, I quickly ran into trouble as soon as somebody asked me to like create an SSL cert or do a subnet or something like that. I was like, I could kind of figure this out by clicking the buttons, but I'm pretty sure I'm doing everything wrong here. So, you know, knowing how to set that up from the right way, you have to really understand the code behind it and all the possible features and functions of doing that. And Google really lends itself nicely to creating those, again, infrastructure as code templates, whether they're scripting or JSON templates or even programs to create to create infrastructure. Again, maybe you speak a little bit better to the foundational pieces, but to me, what they do better is the foundations of what the app will be built on. The app itself, they have a lot of good features and functionality too with App Engine, but I personally enjoy the foundational piece.
Yeah, I find, like, in a nutshell, my experience with all three would be AWS feels like it was written with DevOps in mind. Like, they were early like pioneers with DevOps tooling. Microsoft Azure feels like it's very much aimed at the enterprise space, and like .NET, folks are already doing .NET development. It can be a great fit for them. And Google, personally, is my favorite of all three. I find it incredibly intuitive and easy to use. They've provided very, very powerful and bleeding edge capabilities. And it feels like it was written with like developers and software engineers in mind. It was like, hey, mm-hmm. everything that we do in Google Cloud is kind of tailored to us as engineers, and it's very intuitive for us as engineers.
Yep. And like you said in the beginning, every company is a software company now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. It's for software engineers. And yes, it's great for those, you know, a lot of these startup companies who are either going to be processing just gigantic amounts of data mm-hmm. in the future or spinning up, you know, and out. It's if you're building it on that platform, you know you're doing it the right way. And couldn't agree more, Ed.
A follow-up question to this about app modernization and like Google Cloud. And if it's in the cloud, is it always going to be modernized? You know what I mean? Like, is that, because I know there's a premise and things like that. Yeah. So I want to talk, because there's sort of like this, and I can feel it right here, the vibe already go, no. From my perspective, it feels like, oh, if it's in the cloud, you know, it's always going to be modernized. That's sort of always been like the pitch. Like, so walk me through that.
I'll jump in here first. Yeah, one of the things that we tell customers and prospects when we first start talking cloud, digital transformation, DevOps, application modernization is cloud doesn't automatically equal automation and scalability and self-healing and DevOps and all of these great things. But it is this platform that can provide all of that stuff. So you need the expertise and the experience to help you make the most of it. That you can very easily just lift and shift virtual machines from on-premise into the cloud, and they'll run the same way. It's a very inefficient way to do it, right? The cloud is designed to be for elastic scalability, sort of like based workloads. So if you're going to run a machine and need like fast access to storage, and you need to run it 24/7, it's going to be expensive to run in the cloud. If you have something that's going to burst up and down, like the cloud's a great resource for that. So we've talked to a number of customers who have looked at, hey, how much would it cost for us to move our application as it is to the cloud today? And it can often be expensive. If they need direct attached SSD storage and they have large SQL servers, like, it can cost an arm and a leg for them to be able to run it in the cloud. Now, it was also expensive for them to run it on-premise too, but that's where the modernization conversation begins. And how can we start breaking apart these monoliths and identifying like what services would be a great fit to run as a microservice and to move out into the cloud?
Absolutely. Lift and shift, as you said, it's almost, it's been a dirty term for a lot of years. Nobody likes to, everyone's like, oh, what do you do? Another lift and shift. Oh, yeah, I know they wanted it. Like, you know,
there's a deadline to beat.
You're technically in the cloud now, and you get your bonus because
nobody knows any better, right?
Like I said, I have lightened up a little bit on the lift and shift, like, because at least then you have some foundations and you get the possibility of setting up those configurations around it. But at the same time, it's just why, you know, you're really could be doing so much more with that project. And, you know, if you're doing that, and one of my favorite things to think about is, you know, just at least wrap it in a container of some kind before you put it up there, you know, put it in the cloud is really based on containers. And at the end of the day, and being able to run your workloads on them. And at least once you have it on that, you're able to make it a lot more scalable and a lot more elastic, because if you just replicate your hardware on the cloud and get up there, you might actually end up spending more money than you would on premises, because it is sometimes more expensive to have all those additional capabilities there that you're not taking advantage of. If you're not going to take advantage of them, you know, it's almost like why do it? You immediately get a data center that is about as secure, well, about as disaster proof and as your old data center was. You know, you get a little, depending on how you configure it, it's literally, you know, if your data center goes down, just like if their data center goes down, it's about the same.
What advice would you give to, let's just say, you know, a CIO of a company that's in the early stages of, you know, app modernization, and they said, you know, hey, Ed, hey, Rich, give me some piece of advice here. How should I approach this? What advice would you have for them as they begin this journey?
Make sure your foundations are rock solid, that you're doing things the right way to begin with before you start throwing stuff in there, that you're doing it the right way, that your permissions are set up, that you're leveraging those cloud native services. Be thinking about the long term and design it the right way. Don't just give somebody a credit card to start spinning up your production environment. It's a good way to do POCs, but you really want some experts in there who know and have done this before.
Yeah, very similar from my perspective. Understand where you're at. Make sure you have that solid foundation, the solid, secure, governed foundation upon which to build. And then build a roadmap for where you want to get to, so that you have a path you can follow, and it's a lot better organized than scattered all over the shop.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Is there anything that we didn't cover you think is relevant to anyone that's thinking about app modernization?
Yeah, the second challenge that I see with when companies are looking to modernize, I mentioned the first one is the cost of investment in it. The second challenge is skills, experience, and kind of comfort. So for example, we work with a lot of customers who understand the concepts of containers and Kubernetes and microservices. They have some great ideas, but having not done it before, you might have an architect who's been in the same role or company for 8-10 years, so they've not done this somewhere else. They've got all the right ideas. They oftentimes they maybe just need some confidence, and then there might be folks who've never done this before. They haven't read about it before, and so bringing in somebody who has the experience, the production real world experience, and the expertise, and the partnerships, like that's what makes all the difference. That's what helps get over that challenge of the skill set and the experience and the confidence.
Absolutely, having internal champion who loves technology and is willing to, you know, take the time and effort to research the right way to do things and even know what they don't know. That's important for myself when I am faced with a new project that, like, hey, I know that this is a huge field. I understand the basics of it, but now I have to go either have a conversation with somebody else who I know is an expert there, or, you know, just read about it myself. And even if I do that, I still want to have conversations with those experts who have been there and done it before. And, you know, it's a mindset as well that, you know, you need to really embrace it. And there's a lot of people, great people at organizations already that have been there 8-10 years, but, you know, they've been supporting the same thing for 8-10 years and have been, unfortunately, in a bubble, and they'd love to get out of the bubble. They just don't know. It's hard to see how. So, you know, I do love helping those particular people because, you know, they have a lot of energy as well to make things better, you know, as long as you're doing it the right way. It's good.
Well, I found my two experts. If I need to modernize my organization, I know where to go. So thank you very much. Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Rich. And, you know, thanks from the Burwood Group and Prime TSR. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to this being published.
Excellent. So, thanks, Robbie.
Thank you very much.